but they were serious all the same, under the smile. No one ever said why. But yesterday, when the chorus had been arguing about the money, everyone knew that they weren't actually going to refuse to sing. It was all a game. The show went on. She'd heard all the stories. She'd heard about shows continuing while fire raged around the city, while a dragon was roosting on the roof, while there was rioting in the streets outside. Scenery collapsed. The show went on. Leading tenor died. Then appeal to the audience for any student of music who knew the part and give him his big chance while his predecessor's body cooled gently in the wings. Why? It was only a performance, for heaven's sake. It wasn't like something important. But the show goes on. Everyone took this so much for granted that they didn't even think about it anymore, as though there were fog in their heads. On the other hand, someone was teaching her to sing at night. A mysterious person sang songs on the stage when everyone had gone home. She tried to think of that voice belonging to someone who killed people. It didn't work. Maybe she'd caught some of the fog and didn't want it to work. What sort of person could have that feel for music and kill people? She'd been idly turning the pages of an old programme, and a name caught her eye. She quickly shuffled through the others beneath. There it was again. Not in every performance, and never in a major role, but it was there. Generally, it played an innkeeper or a servant. "Walter Plinge," she said. "Walter? But he doesn't sing, does he?" She held up a programme and pointed. "What? Oh, no," Andre laughed. "Good heavens. It's, a kind of convenient name, I suppose. Sometimes someone has to sing a very minor part. Perhaps a singer is in a role that they'd rather not be remembered in. Well, here they just go down on the programme as Walter Plinge. Lots of theatres have a useful name like that, like A.N. Other. It's convenient for everyone." "But Walter Plinge?" "Well, I suppose it started as a joke. I mean, can you imagine Walter Plinge on stage?" Andre grinned. "In that little beret he wears." "What does he think about it?" "I don't think he minds. It's hard to tell, isn't it?" There was a crash from the direction of the kitchen, although it was really more of a crescendo, the long, drawn-out clatter that begins when a pile of plates begins to slip, continues when someone tries to grab at them, develops a desperate counter-theme when the person realises they don't have three hands, and ends with the roing, roing, roing of the one miraculously intact plate spinning round and round on the floor. They heard an irate female voice. "Walter Plinge!"
"Sorry, Mrs. Clamp."
"Damn thing keeps holding onto the edge of the pan. Let go, you wretched insect." There was the sound of crockery being swept up, and then a rubbery noise that could approximately be described as "spoing." "Now where's it gone?"
"Don't know, Mrs. Clamp."
"And what's that cat doing in here?" Andre turned back to Agnes and flashed her a sad smile. "It is a little cruel. The poor chap is a bit daft." "I'm not at all sure," said Agnes, "that I've met anyone here who isn't." He grinned again. "I know," he said. "I mean, everyone acts as if it's only the music that matters. The plots don't make sense. Half the stories rely on people not recognising their servants or wives because they've got a tiny mask on. Large ladies play the part of consumptive girls. No one can act properly. No wonder everyone except me singing for Christine. That's practically normal compared to opera. It's an operatic kind of idea. There should be a sign on the door saying, 'Leave your common sense here.' If it wasn't for the music, the whole thing would be ridiculous." She realised he was looking at her with an opera face. "Of course, that's it, isn't it? It is the show that matters, isn't it?" she said. "It's all show." "It's not meant to be real," said Andre. "It's not like theatre. No one's saying, 'You've got to pretend this is a big battlefield and that guy in the cardboard crown is really a king.' The plot's only there to fill in time before the next song." He leaned forward and took her hand. "This must be wretched for you," he said. No male had ever touched Agnes before, except perhaps to push her over and steal her sweets. She pulled her hand away. "Better go and practice," she said, feeling the blush start. "You really picked up the role of Iodine very well," said Andre.
I have a private tutor," said Agnes.
"Then he's really studied opera, that's all I can say."
I think he has,"